Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, March 26, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the reporting from Jacksonville, Florida. Just posted earlier today a quick update on what we have learned since our last posts about the moon worm. If you remember, this particular worm came out about a month ago, was around February 12th or so, I think, where we first wrote it up, and it infected Linksys routers. Most of our initial analysis used just an infected router, essentially observing what's happening there, also telnetting to the router itself to investigate some of the files stored on the system. But since then, Bernardo Rodriguez did actually manage to run the worm in a virtual machine. Now, he used QEMU for this particular experiment, and one of the nice things about QEMU is that it is able to simulate a MIPS CPU on an x86 host. So he was able to install OpenWRT and then actually run it. A couple things that he found was, first of all, the communication channel that we observed is just the SSL, or actually HTTPS. And then he also observed that the infected router will provide a little admin interface if you just insert moon in the URL to show a user or an administrator who is familiar with this particular admin interface how many systems got infected and what systems this particular router is connected to right now. So a little status display showing an update on the spread of this particular worm from the view of this individual infected router. Personally, I haven't played with QEMU too much, but I think it would be really interesting to see if the stock Linksys firmware could be run within QEMU. One problem with running OpenWRT is that it's of course easy to detect for the worm or a future piece of malware, and then it may behave differently like what we have seen with other malware that tries to detect virtualization. And FireEye is reporting that it saw the Malaysia Flight 370 being used as a pretense to infect systems. These are, oddly enough, targeted attacks. We haven't really seen any sort of widespread malware using this scheme, and actually it would be sort of time for something like this to come out. But what FireEye saw instead was fake videos and the like then being used to attack specific individuals. Overall, the email and the malware that came with it was pretty standard, like Poison Ivy and other similar pieces of malware. They have seen a number of these attacks with different indicators of compromise and different formats like PDFs or movie files or whatsoever over the last few weeks. FireEye is pointing out that even though we do see somewhat a move to compromise the websites in these waterhole attacks, we do have still quite a few of these spear phishing attempts happening. And talking about compromised websites, Netcraft came out with an interesting study looking at where phishing and malware sites are hosted. Netcraft has an ongoing effort trying to collect phishing and malware URLs, and what they found is that a large percentage of these malicious sites are hosted on WordPress accounts. WordPress, of course, is frequently installed on systems and then forgotten and had a pretty rich history of exploits, even from simple stuff like weak usernames and passwords. Netcraft counted 7% of all phishing attacks were on WordPress websites, and 11% of all unique IP addresses involved in phishing were hosted on WordPress sites. The numbers are a little bit higher for malicious URLs like malware, 8% for the number of URLs and 19% for all the unique IP addresses. WordPress.com, which hosts a large number of WordPress sites, was actually not involved in a single one of these events. But then again, WordPress.com is run by an individual who is tightly involved with WordPress and as such probably knows how to patch and secure it. And of course, another platform that is quite frequently used for malware hosting is Amazon's web services. And now a company in Australia found a new way how criminals can get to credentials to access other people's Amazon web service accounts. Turns out a lot of developers don't purge Amazon web service secret keys from code before they upload it to GitHub. And as a result, if you search GitHub, you will find lots and lots of login credentials for Amazon Web Services, and I would imagine for other accounts as well. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.